It up the left wing. It's Tuck squeaking through. Left wing. He shoots. He scores. Welcome back, Alex Tuck. Here's a centering pass from Glass. Off a man in front. Off the right post. Rebound. Score. It is banged through by Cody Glass. And the Knights take the lead 3-2. Rolling puck toward Kincaid. Chips it away. That's ready. Finds Stone. Left circle. Put it in front. Score. And caroms home. Knights extend the lead. Two Golden Knights.
It's the Mac Attack with Brian Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
Yeah, let's go Las Vegas. Happy Friday here on the Mac Attack on 920 The Game. We got a lot to get to in this hour. Again, just an hour. And we got Canelo and Kovalev. We got UFC 244. We got some stuff going down in Saudi Arabia with the WWE want to talk about. We got Vegas Golden Knights to talk about. I'm sure out of like those five things, there will be something we don't get to. Wes Reynolds from VSiN coming up in about a half an hour to take a look through the sports world heading into the weekend and maybe give you some plays that tickle your fancy, to use a term that definitely does not fit my millennial generation. But, do what we do here. Late breaking news coming down the wire within the last couple minutes. Seattle Seahawks claiming Josh Gordon. So Russell Wilson gets his wish. Now here's a very interesting thing. Per Field Yates Magnum. Can you believe this? 27 teams passed on claiming Josh Gordon. The Seahawks had number 28 priority on the waiver wire.
And we know that the 32nd team would have passed on them because they were the team that cut him.
Right.
Although,
I wonder where the Raiders were on that list.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of teams, right? I mean, I don't know the exact order, but obviously the 49ers would have been below the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the Saints were below the Seahawks, right? One loss, so they're below Seattle. But even like a team like Baltimore?
Right. Well, like, Raiders definitely passed on them.
Like, if you're the Ravens, why would you not?
If you're the Raiders, why would you not?
Well, the Raiders, I think their chances at a playoff spot are a little slimmer than some of the teams that. I don't think the Raiders. I'll say this: if the Raiders make the playoffs, I don't feel that they can win the Super Bowl.
Whereas I look at the year the Giants won.
Yeah, but
that
I think
eight,
it's
an 8-8 year.
I think it's a much tougher road in the AFC than it was in the NFC.
Sure. Yeah, it's fair.
You know, and
still went through the Patriots, though.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, but I think getting there would be a lot more difficult than the Giants had to deal with because, you know, you've got Baltimore, Kansas City, the Patriots. Not the Chargers.
Yeah. No, it is interesting. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how he plays in Seattle. Him and, obviously, Russell Wilson share a history, so he's in conceivably good hands. Seattle seems like a welcoming city in regards to progressiveness and mental health and, you know, all the things that, I guess, are surrounding Josh Gordon. They do have legal weed up there, hopefully.
Not by the NFL standards, though.
No. Josh is going to have to keep his hand out of the cookie jar, though, for at least the foreseeable next few months. Yeah, it's so ridiculous, the fact that he's even in trouble, was ever in trouble for that. Story for another day. But Magnum, as we just heard on the open there, through the highlights, Vegas Golden Knights, before we get to anything else, let's start with that. Dropping a stinker last night, late in the game. Really uncharacteristic from this standpoint. I would have thought that a game like this would have happened without Alex Tuck and Nate Schmidt. The fact that it happened upon their return was a bit surprising to me. Now, this is a team, for those that didn't watch the game or didn't get to get the full review, the Knights were leading 4-2 in the third period. That is actually when I left, Magnum. Now, when I left, I wasn't saying the game was over, but you felt moderately okay about a 4-2 lead in the third period, right? Like,
yeah.
Whatever, it was like 13 minutes left.
Well, the thing is, Montreal was being dominated.
Right.
Like, that second and third, first half of the third period, it was all Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, even though Vegas gave up the goal in the second period, it was 2-2 going
still
into
the
third.
Vegas. The pressure was all
Vegas. Yeah, I mean, they controlled the puck. They were in this. Now, Montreal is a fast team. And they were, there's a lot of things.
You saw that with Druin.
Yeah, but there are some things that really, I think, are, I want to sound the alarm. This team does not play 60 minutes of hockey. And in their losses, which you can make the case, a lot of them have been bad losses, Boston came in here, blew their doors off.
And
Nashville.
And what is it? It's always at the end of periods.
Yeah.
Where you, when the tail end, when things look like, you know, maybe the hardest minutes and seconds are behind you, the visiting team, for whatever reason, you're absolutely right, is able to find an advantage and able to take momentum away in very quick manner. And that's the other more concerning part, the way momentum shifts on this team quickly. Now, you say sound the alarm. I don't think you don't want to sound the alarm. I get what you're saying.
No, there are
pieces of evidence that you can point to say, hey, this is concerning. But the fact is we're not even a month into the season.
Well, you're about 20, you're 14 games in. So you are about 20% of the way into the season. 82 games, 14. Maybe 15%, 20%. I mean, you are through a pretty decent portion of the season.
Yeah.
And what concerns me the most about last night, it's not that they lost to Montreal. Montreal's a good team.
Yeah.
It's not that they blew the lead. What concerns me is the fashion in which they blew the lead and the fact that Montreal was on the second night of a back-to-back in which they won the first game on the road playing a backup goalie.
Yeah, Kincaid instead of Hart.
So,
yeah.
So to me, Carey Price.
What did I say?
Carey Hart.
Jesus.
the bike rider, right? BMX guy.
Yes, yeah. The guy who threw the first backflip in BMX. Yeah. If you there's any more clear example of just how far my sports knowledge extends into completely useless information, yes. Arlo Eisenberg, Sean Palmer, Carey Hart. I mean,
that's all right, though, because I know who Carey Hart is. But
Arlo Eisenberg didn't resonate with you?
Nope. At least you didn't say Corey Hart.
There you go. Arlo Eisenberg was a part of the first few X Games. He was an inline rollerblader. The first star of inline skating.
The last star of inline skating.
the first and last star. It's quite true. Arlo Eisenberg, the definitely the face of inline skating and then the face of the death of inline skating.
but it's concerning to me because, like I said, you have a team, you're up 4-2, 8 minutes going to third period. Montreal should have been tired.
Yeah.
You tried to get cute. There were some moments there where instead of putting the game away, they tried to get cute. There were a lot of different things they could have done to close out that game. And Alex Tuch, who is, you know, he played his first game, and I asked him after the game about what happened. It almost seemed like you took your foot off the gas.
Yeah, what'd he say?
And I kind of corrected myself because I didn't want to maybe use that word. Like, I had in my mind, you should have slammed the door. Why didn't you slam the
door?
It's
a balance, right? For those of you that don't know, that I mean, I've obviously been in situations like that. You've been in plenty of those situations like that. You're dealing with highly emotional individuals.
Yes. Now, especially after a loss like that.
Now, you do want to do your job.
Yes.
But you do want to be somewhat careful about how you phrase things because they can go. You want to get your content. You don't worry about being respectful necessarily, but you do kind of worry about how you phrase things time to time.
There's a certain line that you don't want to cross as a professional. And his response was, because I tried to correct myself, like maybe that's it. He said, no. We sat back.
That's good.
You know, and he even though it wasn't his fault, he took ownership. He's like, this isn't the way we're supposed to play, but this is becoming a theme. Every time they lose, we keep hearing wake up call or this isn't the way we're supposed to play. This isn't how we play. This isn't our game. You're 20% of the way into the season. This is your game. And unless you get things corrected, this is who you are.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point because Gallant, in the post-game presser, I was surprised when I was listening. Now, I said I left when it was 4-2. Why? Well, because I had a concert to make.
Yes.
I had to go see the one and only Marilyn Manson over there at the Palms. And my God, first time seeing Marilyn Manson, what better way to see him on Halloween? I just thought I'd put that out there. So, now listen, when I left the game at 4-2, I wasn't expecting that was the way it was going to end up. Yeah. Well, I knew it could still go a few different ways, but then you go back. Obviously I watched the highlights. I see the way it played out. You talk about the collapse and it was pretty palpable. You almost feel it. You could taste it. It was there. It was clear. Right. And then in the post game press conference, Gallant came out and essentially said, yeah, you know, I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, they kind of chalked it up to, because I even heard Marcia so say it, and it angered me a little bit when I heard it, and Gallant kind of had the same sentiment, like, hey, they scored some lucky goals.
Mm.
Well, you scored a lucky goal too. Went Stone banked it off of a guy's skate.
Yeah, great point. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Like,
right? Like, anytime so, luck gets brought into it, that's a really dangerous sort of line.
And I'm one of those people who hockey, I think mostly in hockey, you truly create your own luck.
To an extent,
yeah. Because you have to be in that position,
yeah.
Right? Like here we go. The goal that Tatar scored to make it 4-3, the puck went in off of his chest and into the net.
Why?
Well, because he was open.
Exactly, and he was placing himself in the right position.
But earlier in that sequence, it was on the power play. Now, that goal came as Nate Schmidt came back on the ice following the power play, so it was an even-strength goal, even though
right.
Schmidt hadn't had time to get onto the ice. But there was a play. Mark Stone batted the puck out of the air, and if not for a great play by a Montreal defenseman, that puck goes across the blue line. They have to reset because at that point, if he dumps it in, they're offside.
Yeah.
So it's a game of inches. And yeah, maybe there was some bad luck, but give credit to Montreal.
Yeah, and to bring it up in a post-game press conference like that.
It's almost like sour grapes.
It is. And to make it your narrative. Also, here's another thing. You want to talk about luck? Okay, well, that's fine. But why don't we switch the narrative, because you brought up a great point. Montreal coming off a back-to-back, playing their backup goalie. And how about the fact that you had 4 days of rest?
Well, that's the other thing.
How about the fact that the Knights didn't play since what, Sunday?
They played Sunday night, and they smoked Anaheim.
Yeah.
And so it was an earlier game on Sunday.
You had fresh legs. That's a great point. It was an earlier game. You had fresh legs, you had time to plan, and you had a team coming in with their backup goalie off a back-to-back, and you're talking about puck luck?
Yeah. You got to create your own.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the strategy there with 8 minutes ago wasn't the best strategy.
Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to hold off. I want to see about another month before I make any hard line decisions on this team, but I will agree with you. Trends are pointing. They are concerning. You can look at certain things and say, hey, if this doesn't get shored up, this could be bad for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. Give it some more time, because obviously Nate Schmidt, Alex Tuch, both back in the lineup essentially.
Exactly.
You know, Nate Schmidt had played 10 minutes
right.
on the season.
Right.
Alex Tuch, his first game at all.
And he got a goal.
And he scored a goal.
Yeah.
By the way, can we now stop panicking about Cody Eakin?
Were people panicking about
Cody Eakin? Oh, yeah. Yeah, people were freaking out. Oh, he's not good. It's like, wait a minute.
He's one of the... He might be the hardest working player outside of maybe Marchessault on this team.
Well, and it's like, look, it's no coincidence. The night he gets Alex Tuch back, both of his wings score goals.
Right.
Like, that doesn't happen by coincidence.
That's a great point. So, yeah, we'll put a plug on the hair on fire Vegas Golden Knights right now. But I want to see how they look more with Tuch and Schmidt back in the
lineup.
They
have a really tough road trip coming up. So tomorrow night, I think, it's obviously not, you don't want to say must win.
No, but it's
a very important game, because you have Columbus, who's playing extremely well, Washington, Toronto, and Detroit. And you could look at that and say, yeah, Detroit stinks, but you know what? I think that's the last game. You don't want to be 0-3 on the road going into that Red Wings game.
They're a proud hockey team as well. So,
and the thing is, if you lose tomorrow night, you potentially could be looking at a stretch where you go 0-5 into that Red Wings game.
I'm not going to, yeah. Either way, if you lose tomorrow, then the questions will start mounting.
Yeah.
You're going to have to start kind of addressing things that you probably don't want to. All right, as I mentioned, Wes Reynolds coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Mac Attack. But right now, let's get to it. It's time for the opening round.
It's the opening round.
Finish him.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Did you have a good Halloween?
Oh, me?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you were at the game, right?
I was at the game, but it was a good time at the game. You know, a lot of people dressed up, and it was pretty cool. DJs played some good songs, Oingo Boingo, MC Hammer, Adam's Family Groove.
I caught that one, the Adam's Family Groove.
I even had to tweet about that.
Yeah, that was pretty great. That was pretty great. I was there for that. I like that. I saw a lot of Jokers.
Yeah.
A lot of Jokers. That was the costume of the year.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that kind of disturbed me, too many people dressed up like Waldo from Where's Waldo.
People like that costume.
Yeah, because it's simple, but it's like there can only be one Waldo, right?
You see any clowns?
No.
I didn't see any clowns.
Unless you include the Joker.
Well, no,
now,
that doesn't count.
There were some creative costumes, like a couple people dressed up like the Muffin Man.
I saw some blind refs.
I did see a few blind refs, three blind mice refs, yeah. The girls who were dressed up like Red Rum. Is it Red, The Shining?
My favorite, the Canadian Mounties.
Yes. Oh, quite attractive, too.
Jesus, Magnum.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Every day with you and the women.
Listen,
what was it yesterday? are you fawning over? Was it like a star from the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
Now,
whoever the girl is today who was in Monster Squad.
Oh, God. Yes.
I don't even remember her name. That's how quick I forgot.
But yesterday it was your next ex-wife.
Yes. Well, she's already my ex-wife. Yeah.
Well, speaking of clowns, I want to start off this opening round talking a little Kanye West. Kanye, C-O-N-Y-E. I have dubbed him Kanye.
Yes.
He's learned well from the president. He learns how to run a grift. You know, they're buddies now.
Yeah.
Kanye and Donnie.
Well.
It's going to be the new Watch the Throne.
Well.
Watch the Throne 2, DJT, and Kanye. Now, the reason I bring this up and why I'm calling him Kanye, during Kanye's appearance on Carpool Karaoke with James Corden.
Which was airplane karaoke.
Which was on Monday. He let it known that, well, Kanye's born again now.
Yes.
He's everything for God.
Because that's so believable.
Right. Well, it's as believable as Donnie being an evangelical. And no, I guarantee you, if you went up to that man and you were like, I just want one quote from the Bible. Anyone, thou shalt not kill. Read me a commandment.
Yes.
Just one.
Yes.
I'm not even religious.
I know most of them.
If anything, like I'm going to Ghost and Manson, like Hail Satan. Yeah, no, but no, I'm obviously kidding. I'm not particularly religious, but my point is I'm more religious than a lot of these people. I might be more religious than Kanye. I don't know. But the fact is, he let this bomb drop on Carpool Karaoke that he got $68 million in tax breaks because he is now a pastor, or he runs a church, the Church of Kanye. I really hope that this dude is giving that money to charity or some of it, because it's a free $68
million. He's not.
No, of course he's not. This whole thing's a con. It's a joke.
Yeah.
You know, also, to make it any clearer, I'll tweet this out. Have you seen the merchandise this dude is selling? Just take a look at this. I'm going to show you right now. Can you believe this? This is real, by the way.
That's blasphemy.
This is not a joke.
Like that is legit blasphemy.
Does this not look like, and folks, listen.
Wow.
I'm going to retweet this right
now.
Wow. So just go over to @RyanMcKinnell.
Now, I went into this blind.
Yeah.
I had not seen it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hold on. Merch we're talking about right now. You can find it on my Twitter.
Like, dude, so, you're selling merch with Jesus with the thorns in his head?
But it's like bad Photoshop. It's like a rainbow-colored, this thing says Jesus is King. It's a rainbow-colored cross with Kanye's name at the top and the bottom, Kanye West, with Jesus is King, with a rainbow-colored cross with a picture of Jesus and the crown of thorns going down the side of the arm. Like, it is baffling.
Like, what happened to this guy?
Well, I'm not, that America happened. Like, I'm not like, that's a broad freaking question, right?
But his music sucks.
Well, that is true. It is unfortunate, right? But beyond all that, how do people not see what's going on?
Well, because people are easily conned.
Well, clearly. Now,
I mean, look, we had 60 million people vote for
that's
a
true.
Con man.
Now, here's the thing. 5 years ago, actually, because it just came up on my Facebook. Thank you, Facebook. Not really. You're terrible.
It's good for something.
Yeah, I was just saying, not really. You're actually terrible, Mark Zuckerberg. But besides the point, brought up the memory, Outkast, 5 years ago, Life is Beautiful. It was Outkast, Foo Fighters, and then the other person headlining that 3-night festival
was Kanye.
One Kanye West. Now, I remember going to that show and looking at the merch line and looking at a jacket, and it was a members only, like jean jacket type, like leather, whatever. $350.
What?
$350. And it wasn't that special. It was an extension of what we're living now with these Kanye Jesus is King shirts, right?
Oh.
To bring it back to a sports context, Kanye West is the real LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball looked across the landscape of sports and merchandising and said, listen, people are stupid. They will buy anything if you talk about it enough, or you make it seem like a commodity. Or in the case of LeVar Ball, because remember when the Zoes dropped in the Big Baller Brand?
Yeah.
Those shoes were like $400 or $500. Yeah. So his thinking was, charge enough for something, people will pay it because they just want to pay the price tag. And he's correct. People just want to have something. That's what the Yeezus shoes were. They just want something that's expensive that people know about so they can flaunt it.
Yeah.
Whether it be a new iPhone and it costs $1,400, they don't really care. They're not using the $1,400 worth of tech that is in that piece of technology. It's just more about a status symbol. That's what LeVar Ball realized when he broke the Big Baller Brand. Now, it turns out it was a trash company.
Shoe, yeah.
Right, trash shoe, trash company, trash business dealings.
Stupid logo,
All of it was trash.
But people bought it.
But exactly. Even more highlighting the fact what is happening. Now, I want to yell at Kanye and call him Kanye, and I am kind of. But at the same time, there's a part of me that's saying, you know what, man? Get your money. Yeah. You know what? Do you, man? If people are this stupid.
Yes. Yep.
And people want to be fleeced this badly. You know what? Who am I saying? You know what? At that point, it's up to me to start a cult.
Yeah. You should.
For real.
Yeah.
My mom always said I'd be a great cult leader. Everyone close to me said, you know, I thought for sure you would be a cult leader.
I'm kind of scared that I know you now.
Well, it's, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, yes. Chapman, and I've just chosen not to go down that road.
Well, yeah, you know, but everything you said is exactly right. Like,
that's like why I should be a cult leader.
If people are that stupid, that, yeah. How much are those t-shirts? I'm guessing $50.
Oh my God!
More than 50.
I'm sorry. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't have.
Lost for words.
I'm literally. Yeah. I kind of am. The hoodie. The hoodie that looks like it was made by an elementary school kid doing Photoshop. The Jesus is King rainbow hoodie. You know what? Just guess. Let's just guess.
All right. So if the leather jacket was $350.
Right. A hoodie. A sweater.
All right. Taking in mind that it's Kanye.
Yep.
I paid $50 for my kid to have a Kiss concert t-shirt at the concert.
Right.
I'm guessing the hoodie is probably $175.
Try about $100 more.
$275?
$260 freaking dollars.
For a hoodie.
For a hoodie.
That's Crayola. It looks like a Crayola box with Jesus' picture on it.
That's not what took my breath away. The sweatpants, $180.
For sweatpants?
Almost $200 sweatpants.
That are probably no different than the sweatpants I could go buy at whatever store down the street.
Sweat shorts. Now, mind you, this comes with a digital download of the new Jesus and King.
Oh, hey, there you go. Well worth it. Well worth it.
$100 for sweat shorts and an album.
What?
Again, you know what, man? Good for you, Kanye. Far be it for me to judge and to say what is valuable. My God.
And
Kanye.
I see people praising him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's a, first of all, this is a guy who one time said that he would watch the video of his wife having sex with another man while he was having sex with his wife.
Well, I don't want to get other people's kinks, but no, yeah, it's a little unconventional, Magnum.
Listen, you could be into that, right? Like, but don't advertise it. Be out there saying.
That is kind of a good
I
point.
I like watching Ray J go to town on Kim.
Keep your kinks behind closed
doors.
Yeah,
like, listen, if that's what you're into, that's fine. That's totally cool.
How about we went from the fact that Jesus doesn't care about, Bush doesn't care about black people to... Hey, black people and fans of Kanye, here's $240 sweatpants.
How do you go from Bush doesn't care about black people to Trump does care about black people?
I don't know, man. We're bizarre world.
To me, Trump cares less about anybody than Bush ever did.
But, I mean, we talk about cons, right? People are willingly waited to be conned. Kanye was, I mean, the way I, just from the outside looking in, this is how I saw it. He saw a really powerful president like, you know, Trump that wanted to have an audience with him and use him as a prop, exactly. And he's too lost to see what's happening.
Or maybe he totally sees what's happening and he's perfectly fine with it. So he's latching on, knowing that he could con a bunch of people into like these are people who were never his audience before.
Right.
Like you're going to see Gomer Pyle walking down the. Then again, maybe not because they probably can't afford it. But, you know, you're going to see Gomer. In the trailer park in Kentucky, rocking a Kanye West.
Well, I'll tell you what, these shirts, I mean, they look like they were designed for the uninitiated. I don't know, man. This is wild. Anyway, I just thought I had to, as we pivoted from clowns and Halloween, I had to bring that up.
It's very clownish.
It got brought up. I just couldn't let it go.
Got to give the guy credit, man. Yeah. I mean, he knows marks when he sees them.
That's true. Well, speaking of marks, the fight marks out there in the combat sports realm, they have a lot to be excited about. This goes beyond markdom. Really, really great weekend for fights coming up. I think you've heard about it plenty here on this show and other shows, but we got Canelo taking on Sergey Kovalev here in Vegas in 24 hours. And then also across the country in New York City, we've got the BMF belt
in the UFC being not defended because no one owns it yet, but it's going to be awarded for the very first time between George Masvidal and Nate Diaz, and the man awarding that championship will be none other than Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. Now, we got some our first looks at the BMF belt. I got to be honest, not particularly impressed with it. Magnum, here it is. This is actually our buddy Helen's significant other, SO, the schmo, holding the belt with white gloves. So
what is that, 244?
Four for UFC 244. I don't know what the 500 is on the other side, but it just says BMF. It's all silver. I don't know. They said they were spending $50,000 on it.
I'd say they probably did not get their money's worth.
I would agree with that. But anyway, that's the belt that's going to be strapped across that. I will tweet that out. It's already tweeted out.
Could they have found someone who's a little more BMF than The Rock, though, to give that out?
Are you saying you're not impressed?
No, I like The Rock. But
Magnum,
I also think of The Rock in that movie with the little girl where he was dressed up like the fairy.
Magnum, that's not how people view The Rock. You know damn well how people view The Rock. Now, I will sit for a lot of slander on this show. You can have your opinions. But are we really saying that Dwayne Johnson, the king of the action movie? I mean, he's the man who brought meaningless action movies back. Yeah. You and I were raised on it.
Yes.
I mean, Schwarzenegger
like
and Stallone.
True Lies, yes. And Rambo.
Yes,
and
all of that. And then all the other awesome movies that we got because of those two. We got Van Damme. We got Double Impact.
That's true.
We got Double Impact because of Stallone and Schwarzenegger.
And we got Steven Seagal in Alaska beating up
on dangerous ground. Yes. Damn right. See, these are
driving Michael Caine into an exploding oil rig.
Oh, so good.
Michael Caine.
So good. So good. We were raised during the best years. But that's what I'm saying. A new generation is back, and they've got Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He is King BMF Magnum. Come on. So, no, I have no problem with The Rock passing out the belt. In fact, I mean, you see this. You know, you bring up a good point, though. When you see the social media, the attention that it's gotten, I mean, it's really good on the UFC for doing this, but this is partly why they sold to Endeavor and why Endeavor was so willing to purchase them was because of cross promotion, things like this. I believe The Rock owns a stake now in the UFC. I know Matt Damon does.
There's a lot of people.
Conan O'Brien.
I think even Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady, Conan, I believe The Rock does. So you're talking about the most powerful of the powerful in Hollywood want to see the UFC succeed.
Yeah.
And that is a huge tool.
Yeah, don't get me. And I don't want it to seem like I was knocking. I like The Rock, but like to me, like when
you
I think
wanted
of,
to get your, you wanted to get your Disney line in.
Well, like I think that too. Yeah, but I think of people who are like legitimately prove that they are BMFs, like Chuck Zito or Mike.
Oh, come on!
Or Mike Tyson.
Do you know how trash that would be if Chuck freaking Zito? Yeah, hey, it's Chuck Zito and Andrew Dice Clay here to hand out the BMF belt. This card, we pulled it out of a Cracker Jack box. Are you kidding me, Chuck? You'd be okay with Chuck Zito over Dwayne Johnson? Now, full disclosure, Chuck Zito is actually a badass.
I mean, he's
been a bodyguard.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Tyson.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, now, granted, Mike Tyson today, as opposed to 25 years ago, completely different. But
completely different? Did you see that video about like a couple weeks ago?
Where he was throwing the punches?
Yeah.
He's
killing all of us.
Yeah, he is still one of the baddest men on the planet.
Sorry, Mike, we know you live in Vegas. Good chance that somehow, just knowing our luck,
you know what's sad, though?
Well, good thing we did get his security doors put in.
Yes.
So,
but he's so badass.
Screw you, Mike. You ain't got nothing on Big Mac and Chapman.
Don't put my name in there.
Chris Fur Chapman.
He's so badass. He could get through those security doors. And I
feel like everyone would just open it. Oh, Mike Tyson. Yeah. No, come on.
Yeah. Oh, it's Iron Mike.
Yeah. It's, you're not going to let him wait.
Well, what's sad is my son knows Mike Tyson. You know, we were talking about it yesterday with John Witherspoon.
Yeah.
My son, who is 11, will be 12 in 3 weeks, knows Mike Tyson from Adult Swim.
Oh, his show, Mike Tyson's Mysteries.
And it's great. It's hysterical.
It's awesome.
Norm MacDonald.
Hey, man, at least he knows who Mike Tyson is. I think that's all.
I had to explain to him that he was the greatest boxer of my generation.
Just show him YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, click, play, Mike Tyson highlights.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's universal language of terror.
Yes.
Everyone can put themselves.
Just show him Michael Spinks.
Yeah. Look at the fear in Spinks' eyes.
Yeah, he was terrified down.
He made grown men shake.
Yes.
Not just grown men. Grown badasses.
Yes. Guys who would destroy
everyone.
90% of the people on this planet.
99.
Yes. And they were terrified of him.
Terrified. But going back to the fights, got some good news. If you are looking to watch both fights, Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated had this note on Twitter. UFC boss Dana White has been vocal about Canelo Kovalev not going up directly against Diaz versus Masvidal. So DAZN, the company that's carrying Canelo and Kovalev, is apparently agreeing with him, and they're told that Canelo and Kovalev won't start until after Diaz Masvidal is over. So truly a win-win for fans that are going to be trying to watch both events. It seems that the combat sports world is in tune with your needs, and they will be catering to you. And damn it, that's a good thing, because these are two fights that absolutely have crossover appeal. So big fights getting to going down here in just about 24 hours. We will finish the show talking fights, but when we come back, we're going to take a dive into the NFL world and maybe talk a little college football with the one and only Wes Reynolds from VSiN coming up next here on the Mac Attack.
You're listening to the Mac Attack.
PE. Okay. There we go. Back here on the Mac Attack. Bringing you the jams here on this Friday. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Right now, we head out to the phone lines, join up with one of our favorite people. He is the host of The Green Zone on VSiN. You can also hear him here on VSiN as a part of the Better Network right here on 920 The Game. He is the one and only Wes Reynolds. Wes, let me ask you a question. I just saw the greatest video, and I missed this yesterday, from the Crown Jewel event in Saudi Arabia with the WWE. It says, when you want to give your bro a hug on TV at Crown Jewel, but realize that they kill gays in Saudi Arabia. This is literally a video of a guy realizing he is on camera, and all he wants to do is hug his buddy. I think this perfectly highlights in the best of ways the conundrum that the WWE finds themselves with this whole Saudi Arabia deal, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, look, you know why they're going, because they get a ton of money.
Right.
And we've kind of laughed, even though there are serious human rights violations at stake, really, in this country currently.
Killing gay people. Killing journalists.
Exactly. But I mean, we laugh at like the prince's demands over the years, that he wanted Yokozuna and he wanted the Ultimate Warrior on these Saudi Arabia cards. And it's like, they're no longer with us, your highness or whatever they call him over there. But yeah, there's the conundrum, and like, who's going to be on SmackDown tonight? I think we're going to see a very large female contingent on Friday Night SmackDown tonight on Fox, because not very many people are going to be able to make the flight. I know Daniel Bryan and The Miz did not go, so you've at least got a couple guys on the show. But yeah, nobody's going to be on the show because the flight is stuck over in Saudi Arabia, so they're not going to make it in time.
Right, just a complete mess over there. Listen, we will get to the NFL here in a second, but while we are talking about that Crown Jewel show, the Crown Jewel show was a big deal from the standpoint here back in North America for two reasons. Combat sports was interweaved in this show in ways that it never really has been before. Cain Velasquez, the former UFC heavyweight champion, makes his debut against Brock Lesnar as a professional wrestler, and then Tyson Fury, the lineal undisputed heavyweight champion of the world in boxing, had a match with Braun Strowman. What'd you think about both those matches, Wes?
Well, I thought they actually tried to do more of a pro wrestling match in the Tyson Fury-Braun Strowman match. And look, Fury, it looks like, is a one-shot deal. Maybe he can come back at some point down the line for a WrestleMania or something. But this was pretty much a one-shot thing, so they weren't going to have him lose to Braun Strowman. I'm sure him and his promoters were like, hey, we're not going to lose. You can do whatever kind of finish. I mean, the announcers called it a TKO, but the ring announcer announced it as a count out. And then Brock and Kane, they wanted to kind of get Brock, I think, a win, his win back, so to speak, in an MMA-style match, and then eventually do the wrestling match. And look, Kane comes in, probably very low maintenance, no ego. I mean, Kane wants to do pro wrestling.
Right.
I mean, I don't think Kane really wants to do fighting, and that's what we saw when he did a few matches in Mexico. Kane Velasquez didn't want to be the MMA fighter that has to work an MMA style in a pro wrestling match. He wanted to be a luchador. So, you know, I think that eventually they're going to do more of a pro wrestling match. You hate to see a guy that they've signed long-term lose right away, because it's like, man, they kind of buried him. But I guess that he could come back and they could do a rematch and he can get his revenge on Brock.
All right, we're here with Wes Reynolds from VSiN, and you can hear him here every... What? When does the show air here on 920 on the Better Network, Wes?
Yeah, we're on 6 to 10 weeknights on the Green Zone, 6 to 10 Pacific. And then on the weekend, Brady and myself do 2 to 6 on Saturday, 3 to 7 on Sunday. Green Zone really goes all afternoon. We have other hosts before Brady and I, but it's usually Brady Cannon and myself on the weekends and also on weeknights.
Nice, nice. Well, there you go. Wes Reynolds from VSiN and the Better Network, host of The Green Zone. All right, let's get into some NFL a little bit, Wes. Now, I usually look across your Twitter to get an idea of where you're sitting. First of all, what is SABC6, Juvenile Turf 7, Andesite, WP? What are you talking about when you're tweeting that?
We are betting. I'm just doing some Breeders' Cup races. It's kind of the Super Bowl of horse racing. And look, I'm not exactly an equine expert, and I tell people that
equine.
This is really just for fun for me. Horse racing is kind of like my fun betting that I don't take seriously, and if I hit some races, win a little money, it's fine. It's kind of just for the enjoyment of it, to be honest with you. But in terms of the NFL this week, and I'm going to post some stuff later in the week, I felt this was kind of a tough card, but I kind of felt that there were just a couple interesting spots that really stood out to me, and I guess one that really stood out to me was the Green Bay and Los Angeles Chargers. I almost said San Diego. We'll do it like we do it with the Angels, the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego.
I like it. That actually sounds better. Let's stick with that forever.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at this line, and you're seeing Pack 3.5. And, of course, we saw last Sunday the Pack ended up actually getting the 6 before there was some buyback where it closed at 5. They were laying 5 at Kansas City, and I know it was Kansas City with Matt Moore. But with that line, it's almost like you're telling me that you think the Chargers would be better than Kansas City on a neutral site, even if Matt Moore was a quarterback. And I'm not convinced at that, so I look at this line at 3.5 pretty much across the board, and I'm like, boy, doesn't this stink to hive heaven? The Chargers are 3-5. They obviously have been banged up all year. They got a win in Chicago with the missed field goal by Eddie Pinheiro late and just kind of a really sloppy game. But nevertheless, right, the Chargers get a win. They fire Ken Whisenhunt as the offensive coordinator, and Shane Steichen, the former UNLV quarterback, is going to take over as offensive coordinator. And I'm just looking at this number. I'm like, man, I don't see any of the recreational or public bettors, whatever you want to call them, betting the Chargers here. And that almost would make me want to be on the Chargers side. It's one of those things I always say, you kind of got to look and look where the stink is, and sometimes you got to go where the stink is. And I'm probably going to be on the Chargers. I'm not rushing to bet it because I may get a little bit more as more Packer money comes in, and I may be able to get 4 or 4.5. But, yeah, this just looks really funny to me. And I've been high on Green Bay all year. I picked them to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. They've had a lot of fortunate breaks over the last few weeks. They were fortunate against Detroit on Monday night where they got a couple calls to go their way. They were probably, even though they ended up winning by a lot, fortunate against the Raiders because we recall Raiders were going in. They're right in the game. Derek Carr fumbles through the end zone, and it's a touchback. And all of a sudden, that totally changes the momentum of that game. And then last week, Aaron Rodgers looks like he's throwing the ball out of bounds just to get it away, about to be sacked. Puts it in the very far pinpoint of the rear corner of the end zone. Receiver comes up with it, and they end up beating Kansas City. So Green Bay's had a lot of fortunate breaks here, and that just looks so fishy to take them. It almost looks too easy, so I will likely be on the Chargers.
What does Josh Gordon landing in Seattle do to you as you look ahead to Seattle for the rest of the season?
Well, I'm interested to see how that's gonna affect the team because I guess Seattle could use another weapon. We know that Doug Baldwin retired, but they've been pretty solid, 6-2 for the season. But looking at that line, Tampa Bay's taken quite a bit of money this week, and this is their third straight road game. They had to go to Tennessee. They had that London game. They had to buy, and then they went to Tennessee. Didn't get really a great whistle down the stretch of the game near the end. And now they're going out to Seattle, who's has one of the best home field advantages in the NFL, if not the best. And yet you're seeing the Bucs take some money. So I get the sense that a lot of bettors really don't believe necessarily in the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm probably too late to the party to take Tampa Bay, but I'm not going to rush to take Seattle in this spot.
What about this Philadelphia-Chicago game? The line opened at 3. Philly's now given up 4.5 at home. It's moved 1.5, understandably so, because, I mean, the Bears just looked like half a football team last week, and they haven't looked really good all this season, really, for me. But I am curious. I know you're probably not staying on it. Is there a number that could hit that would make you, I mean, if it got back down to like a 3.5, or if it jumped up to like maybe a 5? I don't know. I mean, that's really important numbers. So I'm just kind of curious, how do you look at this game?
Yeah, this game, Max, has really been kind of in the dead zone all week when you look at numbers. It was a 5. Now you're seeing some 4.5, even some 4s out there. And look, nobody wants to bet the Bears. I don't expect that they're going to be one of the more popular picks in the Westie Super Contest or in the Circus Sports Million. But it's almost like when nobody wants to bet them, maybe that's when you want to take a stab with this team. Look, Philadelphia, nice win at Buffalo. That was kind of a circle the wagons game because they were sniping at each other in the media a little bit. And you had a feeling that they were going to rally. I didn't play it. I teased it up for a bet that won, the teasing 3-3 and 7. But people are so high on the Eagles because they have talent, but they've had a lot of injuries, especially on defense. And I just haven't seen it with the Philadelphia Eagles. I know a lot of people I respect really like them, but I'm just not that high on them. At this point, if you made me, I would almost be on the Bears' side. I would like to get a little bit more, but as of now, I'm staying away. But if I'm going to play, there's just going to be Bears or nothing.
Another game that I actually really like, and I need you to talk me off a ledge here, is your Colts going into Pittsburgh, and it is not that big of a line, and I have no faith in Pittsburgh. It doesn't look like they're going to have James Conner. I don't know, man. I like Indianapolis here. Can you talk me out of it?
Yeah, well, one thing that came out today is you're not going to have T.Y. Hilton either on the Indianapolis side.
That's a good point.
Usually you can replace. Sometimes skill position players get overvalued in the lines, but we kind of saw against the Raiders earlier this year how much they really missed him in terms of a guy, not just necessarily because of the numbers that he draws, but of the coverage and the respect from the defense that he draws. I was looking to bet the Steelers. Unfortunately, they've now gone favored or pick them. I was wanting to maybe get them in a teaser where I could tease them up to about 7 or more because a lot of people I don't think are rushing to bet the Steelers either because of the fact that they were not impressive on Monday night.
Right.
They did not cover. They did not cover against Miami. I had Miami in the game, up 14-0, getting 14 points. And now I'm on the air with my partner Brady Gannon on the Green Zone, and it's like we were talking to each other, even on the air, like, how the hell are we sweating this game when we were up 14-0, getting 2 touchdowns, and we are sweating this, and the ball got on the turf with Ryan Fitzpatrick late, and are like, oh, God, we got to avoid this scoop and score. It's like, oh, here it comes. And you're flashing back to past memories of some of your bets maybe being on the Scott Van Pelt Bad Beat segment on SportsCenter. I was like, there's going to be another all-timer here. But as the Colts, I mean, look, I like what they're doing, and I like their position. I did bet them to win the AFC South after Luck retired at 5-1. But they are winning a lot of close games. They are not dominating teams. They're not. I think all of their wins have been by a touchdown or less. So this is going to be a close game. And look, maybe Pittsburgh at 3-4 thinks, okay, we've had a lot of adversity this year and we're down. We've ended up playing 3 quarterbacks, even though we've got our number 2 back in with Rudolph. Maybe we've got something left here in the fact that we're still kind of surviving. We're still in this division. Cincinnati clearly is a bottom feeder. Cleveland's been inconsistent. Baltimore looks like the best team right now, but we're not all that far from it. So I kind of think the Steelers potentially could be live. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I don't think they're going to get a lot of love, but now that they're the favorite, it doesn't seem like a lot of the money or the action is on them. So maybe they're kind of that anti, I guess, public favorite, if you want to call it that.
All right, real quick, Wes, and we're here with Wes Reynolds from VSiN and the Better Network here
on 920 The Game. Let's end with the soon-to-be Vegas Raiders. They're taking on Detroit. I like Detroit here only from the standpoint it was a pick'em to open, and now Detroit's getting 2.5 in a lot of places. I think the pick'em was probably the right angle. So I just the fact that I could get points on Detroit, I kind of like it. And I also wonder what that road trip did to Oakland. I mean, you can say that, hey, you know, they're going to be motivated. They're going to be back home. They're going to be feeling good. There is a flip side to that, right, that it has been the travel and that this hellish road trip catches up with them. Just general thoughts on this game, Wes. I know you're probably staying away from it.
You make a great point, actually, Ryan, in terms of the road trip, what it might have done to Oakland. Because, look, I know they had a bye week in between, right. But when you've been on the road for so long, you've got to, like, catch up on life.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to catch up with your family, your significant other, what have you. You got to catch up on talking to your management, your agent, your bills, your money situation. I mean, you got to catch up on, like, everything. And then dealing with, okay, these guys want tickets, so you got to accommodate them. So you always get that when you come off a long road trip, and that's what the Raiders, are getting here. Now, the Raiders' schedule does open up here late in the season where they do have some opportunity to get some wins and maybe have an outside chance at, like, a wild card. I still don't see them catching Kansas City in the division. But the way I would probably go here, getting 2.5, Detroit looks like good, what you call teaser filler, to tease with another team and maybe move this up 6 points to about 8.5, and you're getting over a field goal and now over a touchdown going through those key numbers. So that would probably be the way I'd look at Detroit. I do have a little bit of concern with what Darius Slay has been saying, that his co-captain, they traded Tandre Diggs a couple weeks ago, and he was very vocal about it on social media, didn't care about the consequences, and pretty much said as much. So you worry if there's a little bit of friction with that Detroit team, but I think in terms of just a number standpoint, teasing this up would surely be the way to go.
Good stuff, Wes. We really appreciate it, man. Good to talk to you. We'll catch up with you next week, all right?
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
There you go. Wes Reynolds. You can find him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have some very, and I do mean this, late-breaking and very concerning news about the Vegas Golden Knights and Marc-Andre Fleury. We'll get you updated when we come back.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, details are scarce. I said we were going to come back and talk about fighting. Well, we got a little bit of a pivot here because, Magnum, you pointed something out last night, before the show started. Marc-Andre Fleury was not taking questions after the game, and he was not at practice today.
Yeah, he did not practice today. Gerard Gallant referred to it as a maintenance day, which is not uncommon. Mm-hmm. However, what is uncommon is recalling the backup goalie in Chicago on an emergency basis.
Now, when Malcolm Subban is ready to go.
Yes, because if the plan was to play Subban tomorrow night, give Fleury rest before the road trip, you probably have Fleury as the backup like you did in the game against Philadelphia where they left Oscar Danskin there for the 6 goals. Fleury did not come in at all.
All right.
So if the plan was to rest Fleury and play Subban, you're going to play him regardless unless Subban got hurt, Fleury was not coming in. The fact that he's been recalled on an emergency basis kind of makes me think that maybe something is up.
Yeah.
Now,
potentially.
Again, potentially, right?
Yeah, we don't know.
Because details are sketchy.
Yeah.
My guess was always that Fleury was going to play tomorrow and you're going to play Subban sometime on the road next week. Maybe we see Subban tomorrow and Garrett Sparks is the backup.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, at this point, that's my guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we got to go off of, right?
Yeah.
That's all we got. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on Twitter tomorrow. I'm sure we'll find out more when you guys get in front of the team. But, concerning. A little bit, at least.
Big news, right? I mean, if Subban's in and Fleury's hurt.
If Fleury's out for any extended amount of time, that's obviously not good.
Well, it's Malcolm's time to shine, and I believe in Malcolm Subban. I think Subban can play. He just needs an opportunity.
I agree. He needs consistency.
Yes.
He needs consistency, 100%. All right, Knights back here tomorrow at T-Mobile. And then, as Magnum mentioned, they go on a road trip. Canelo and Kovalev meeting at T-Mobile, and then Masvidal and Diaz going down in New York. Man, if you can't find something to enjoy this weekend, I don't think I can help you. Oh, there's NFL and college football, too, to get at it. So, yeah, safe to say we'll have a stacked show on Monday. We'll see you then, friends.